Okay, Jack Lodell.
Still there, huh?
You're still there. So if you want to bend that microphone underneath your shield, could that get underneath that? There you go. Perfect.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Let's do this. So, Jack, we've known each other a few years, and about a year ago or so, we were talking about people joining council, people transitioning out of the church council, and you asked the question, you know, who's going to join council? What's going on here? And I said, well, what about you? And you thought about it a little bit and came to the next meeting. And I know that, you know, that maybe wasn't in your 10-year plan 10 years ago to come back on council. But I'm glad to have you in the conversations we've been having. And I knew you'd jump at this opportunity to help us out and to reflect a little. So where would you like to begin? We talked about beginning with something you wanted to read. But where are your thoughts taking you as we begin?
Well, let me just start with this one. This is something I wrote maybe 4 or 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I don't know. But 2 years ago, while my daughter Heidi perused through some of my writings and that stuff, and she found this writing and she framed it, printed it, framed it, and gave it to me for my birthday, which is pretty special. It's enough to make a grown man cry, you know what I mean?
And this is something you wrote, and she took what you wrote and,
right,
and gave it back.
Mm-hmm. I might have to go back and read some of them myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was, when I wrote this, it had nothing to do with the virus, of course, but it's more apropos today than it was when I put these words down on paper. And it's called Solitude. And it goes like this. A place to go and grow and let the spirit flow. A place to seek and find that inner peace of mind. A place to retreat and give yourself a time out from life's rush. A place to listen for answers to questions yet unknown. A place to step aside and allow for healing time. A place to feel a new rhythm and hear a new tempo. A place to let go and to let God. Well, you know, we're talking about solitude, about timeouts. Many people have done them. Christ and apostles went into the wilderness for solitude, for reflection. And then, of course, Christ had to fight the devil while he's at it. And I don't know what they ate, but I'm sure they had something to eat. But, you know, the famous guy Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, he always took Mondays off. He didn't do anything on Mondays, even when he was with the King of England. And a famous writer like Henry David Thoreau said, I never found the companion that was more companionable than solitude. So, actually, I took a little solitude this afternoon on my back deck and I fell asleep.
Yeah, that counts. And you wrote this poem on solitude. You wrote this poem on solitude before the pandemic, didn't you?
Oh, probably 4 or 5 years before.
Four or five years ago.
But it's more apropos today because, well, we can't do much. We can spend some time doing nothing, or we can spend this time in solitude thinking about where we're at, what we, you know, about ourselves, about our society, about God and everything else. It's a place to come closer to where you should be.
Yeah, and that could be, you know, that could be a reason why some of us fear solitude. That maybe, you know, we've had more time at home this last year.
Yeah.
But we got to keep the TV on, or we got to keep the music going, or we got to kind of keep the thoughts distracted. So solitude can kind of be a gift, but also sort of a, well, I, as you said, I needed this, and I'm not certain to think.
I hope church isn't this way, because I don't think we go to church that much, but for me, you know, anyway, Carol, relax. She gets nervous when I get up and talk. But I watch enough basketball. Pretty soon it all kind of looks the same, unless maybe Oregon is playing. But I even get tired of watching it.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it's quite a bit. But, and football. But, you know, I might be nervous up here, but, you know, I spoke in front of 160 football and basketball officials for 28 years, so I shouldn't be nervous. But Some things, you know, receiving God's goodness. I think we can take the word thanksgiving and break it in half. So, God's goodness, we give thanks for part of Thanksgiving, thanks, and then the other word is giving. So a kind of, you're thankful for what God's given you, and then you're giving something of yourself.
I like that.
Yeah.
Giving thanks and then giving of yourself.
Right.
So could we pause a bit on those two? In the last year, yes, pandemic, but that's not the only thing going on. God is up to a lot of other things in this world. What are some things you are thankful for, you know, over the past year? Or even now?
Well, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful that I don't have the virus.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I have time to myself. And I'm not in a rush to do a lot of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And I spent too many years of my life working two 24/7 jobs, all both at the same time, which... And then I taught Sunday school on Sundays, and I worked at the golf course on Friday nights or Saturday, Sunday nights. And the thing is, I was never, ever tired. But see, Christianity can be that way too. So you're involved in receiving and responding, and that's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
My lifestyle was doing other stuff for a while, which was busy stuff. But it didn't amount to that much as far as I'm concerned, you know. I mean, I was working with people all the time, but...
Yeah, I mean, 24/7, you said, two different jobs. You were a parole officer. That's 24/7. Yeah. But you were also oversaw supervised referees.
Referees.
That could be 24/7, too. If
And then I took care of 160 sinners, but they were called criminals because they went to court, right? But they're...
And you weren't just speaking as a younger man when you said you weren't tired doing that. You were busy 24/7, but you said you weren't tired.
Well, the thing is, what happens
what's
is...
How do you do that?
Every new thing you do creates its own energy.
Uh-huh.
So you're doing this, that creates energy. I'm doing over this, that creates energy. And I was also coaching freshman football at North Eugene, so the time I had to spend there, I had to make up by working at night or something like that, but it was a pleasure to do it, and they didn't have anybody else to do it.
Yeah, you used the word lifestyle. You know, so each of those areas of work created energy, as you said,
right.
But also it was your lifestyle, so it wasn't something that took away from something you'd rather be doing. It was part of who you were.
No. But I did take too much time away from my family.
There is always trade-offs.
There's always
in all
a trade-off.
Yeah.
I was thinking about some words in the Bible, but like important words in the Bible, love, hope, faith, forgiveness, and grace. God's grace. And then I had this idea this afternoon. I was thinking that if we put a monetary value on God's grace, we'd be sitting in front of millionaires.
Yeah.
And I probably would be a billionaire. But that doesn't happen that way. But that's just one way of looking at how much grace is out there.
No, that's right. That's one of the best confessions of sin I've ever heard, Jack. If grace was monetary value, I'd be a billionaire. I love it.
Anyway, someone said, I wrote this down, is God's favor shown to those of us who don't deserve it and cannot earn it? And will never be able to repay it.
Hmm.
That's God's grace. I had a neighbor the other day. She said, she knows I write some stuff, and she says, I have a young friend that doesn't think men should shed tears.
Ah.
And so I said, well, I think I'm writing something, and I'll give a copy of it that you can give to this young guy. It's called Cleansing Tears. Cleansing tears that wash away the guilt of past and present. Tears that cleanse the heart to keep it beautiful and pure. Tears that wash away the very aches in your soul. No, acid really. Tears of joy that give hope for tomorrow. So let us shed some cleansing tears for the hungry, the impoverished, the afflicted, and the oppressed.
That's beautiful. So you wrote that in response to your neighbor mentioning that men shouldn't cry?
Something similar to that, uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you read it to her?
Not yet.
Not yet. I'll wait. You read me that poem a couple of years ago.
I'll do that tomorrow. Well, I don't know. I might have to go back and read some. I got a whole book of stuff. But, you know, I started doing this kind of thing 25 years ago, maybe.
Writing poetry and
And I was so busy with basketball and football and refereeing and coaching and stuff that I had to suppress it because I couldn't get to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. And so to get rid of it, so to speak, I'd have to write it down, and then I could put it away. Hmm. And I found out that if something came to me and I didn't write it down, and if there was one word that explained everything I was writing about, if I didn't write that word down, it never comes back, and it has never come back. And that's just the way it works.
Yeah, you learned if you didn't write it down, it's gone.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of writing a song, a praise song, I can't write the music, so I'm going to have...
going to talk to our Tommy
My
up there.
Friend Tommy.
Set it to music?
Set it some to music. I got the sound in my head, but I haven't got the notes to put down.
Yeah. What would you say, what's been the gift in your writing, your poetry, you know, what's been the gift in that? You know, you talked about giving thanks earlier, but now you also talk about the word giving. What's the gift in that for you?
It's funny. You know, I feel fortunate. I don't have to sit down and try to write this. Uh-huh. Like authors, they have to sit down and try to find something to write so they can make some money. I've never sat down and tried to write prose or poetry. And then it just comes, and then you got to write it. And the famous one, the best one I probably wrote was that blessing I did. Uh-huh. When I was in Hawaii, and I wrote that in 10 minutes right before a sunrise service on the beach in Kauai. And they were singing and stuff, and I had a pencil and paper with me a lot in Hawaii, and I was doing it there 23 years, and it took me 23 years to write something. Hmm. But, couldn't help but write it.
Yeah.
But I feel like... Well, I guess you get inspiration. I don't know where it comes from, but
yeah, you talked about you don't even come up with it; it just sort of comes to you. You've got to get it out. Like you're trying to sleep at night and you can't because it's in your head, and you got to get it out on paper. It sounds a lot like the grace of God. It's like we receive God's goodness; it comes to us even when we don't expect it, and lo and behold, it doesn't just stay in you, but you got to put it somewhere.
And the opposite of inspired words, uninspired words, when your mouth gets ahead of your brain, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, anyway, I don't know what else. That's probably about it for today. Unless you got any more questions you want to ask me? Any more prompts?
No, I think some of us out here probably have written a poem or two or write in a journal or sometimes write out prayers. And maybe you have any advice for us who maybe want to try to connect with God in through writing, any kind of words of wisdom.
You know, I was never very good in writing stuff in school. In fact, I just told the teacher, I says I can't write that, and took the lower grade. Mm-hmm. You never know. The older you get, sometimes things change your life, and.
Well, I think about where we began tonight. You read your poem on solitude. And you think about poets and artists of all kinds have to spend a significant amount of time alone in order to produce something that is an inspiration to many people. And you sort of, we need both. I mean, your life here at Bethesda, the things you do serving on the council or just encouraging, you know, your friends here at the church, a lot of that comes from the time you have in solitude, too. They strengthen each other, the time alone and the time with others.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of people out here in our congregation that that can do the same thing I'm doing, just have to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit, wait, and listen for something to come to you. I can't force anything. I can't sit down and say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate you sharing two of your poems, and maybe there'll be more down the road. And I think, you know, we've all been going through this year together and have found different ways to get through it, and not even to get through it, but to make the most of the season. And so for some of us, maybe that's an inspiration to put pen to paper and put some thoughts out.
Well, you know, we read the Bible and we study the Bible, and after we get through studying and reading, we find out where's the truth, where's the justice, et cetera, et cetera, which it doesn't tell you in the Bible, but that's what comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So. That's great. Jack, I appreciate it. I appreciate your time and for sharing some of those with us, and perhaps more to come from that writing pad there.
Yeah, well, like I told you one time, I said, you know, like, we all have gifts. We all have talent. We all have gifts, and some of us use it, and some of them don't. Some of us have gifts we don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be nice to write them all down and explain what they are, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I appreciate it, Jack, and thank you so much. So God bless you and keep you as you receive, respond, rejoice, and write. So thank you, Jack.